and welcome to this, the bonus episode of today's FYI on the Bible. I'm here with Ma Dukes. That's a very native way of saying my mom. Mom, great job in the first part.
Thank you, Alberto.
I didn't expect anything less, but you knocked it out of the park.
Thank you, Alberto.
Maybe it was that divine intervention. I don't know. So are you in seventh heaven? Hey, there's a great idiomatic expression. It means over the moon. It means feeling good.
I'm feeling excellent. Thank you.
I'm feeling like $1 million. I love that expression.
Feeling like $1 million.
All right, great. Well, let's start off with some detractors, because I guess not everybody believes in the Word of God or the Bible, especially people who have their own, the Quran, just using one as an example or another equivalent. But what could you tell us about detractors? What do they say about the Bible?
Well, sometimes, especially with things that happened many years ago, they say that the event was written about actually after it happened. So they'll detract and say, no, that wasn't written at that year. That was written at this year. However, archaeology proves them wrong time and time and again. But I would say my own personal thing, many detractors from the Bible have actually never read it and have like a slanted view of something that they haven't fully looked into and discovered.
Right. Gotcha. Good expression. A slanted view. Mm-hmm. And how much does one, I know there's no minimum or maximum, but what is it? What would somebody who really considers themselves, somebody who studies the Bible, and I don't mean for a career, I mean a Bible lover, such as yourself, a Christian, what's the norm?
Well, you should read your Bible every day. You should, if you are a believer, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in all you do. I work in a job. I can't outwardly express my faith, but I pray that when people see me and interact with me, that they will see a person who's loving and caring, and that they will see the Holy Spirit in me.
Yeah, a reflection of God in you.
Yeah, I'm human, of course, but I want people to see in me personally the goodness of God.
Well, going back to what we said, you're not just talking the talk. You're walking the walk.
Mm-hmm.
You're a woman of your word. You're, as you said, you don't only work in a profession where you're helping people, but you come from a line of people who do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Including your brother, your sister, and your father.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you think about it, you were all in the service to people industry.
That's correct.
In healthcare and things like that. So it's definitely something that's been instilled in you. And do you feel those Christian morals have given you, you know, the strength, guidance?
When a person is a believer, we believe the Holy Spirit, which is, you know, God, the Holy Spirit, lives with us. So again, we have the capabilities to do wrong. We are not perfect. But the Holy Spirit is like you would call your conscience that tells you right from wrong. So if you're doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing, your conscience is going to tell you, shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah,
your choice whether you listen to your conscience or not. But yeah, the Holy Spirit guides.
Any other naysayers about the Bible? Any other criticisms like it's fake or, you know, like they say Shakespeare didn't write his plays, things like that? Or
it's, again, it's many, the detractors don't really read it or have a misrepresentation. Many people believe, for example, when I die, God is going to take my good deeds that I've done and take my bad deeds. And if my good overruns my bad deeds, I'll be okay. That's not in the Bible.
Right.
So people have that kind of general consensus. Doesn't say that at all. So that's a misconception.
So a lot of people interpret the Bible.
Interpret something that's not even there. Even the expression, which many people say, God helps those who help themselves, that's not in there either.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that sounds like a Bible verse.
But it's not.
Interesting.
Yes, very interesting.
Interesting. Now, you told us your favorite is John 3:16. Any runner-up? Any second one in mind?
I mean, that's the main one, because it in John 3:16 it contains the gospel message in a very short phrase. And really, everything in the New Testament part of the Bible is about that. It's about Jesus coming as, you know, a baby born in Bethlehem, died on the cross, and then from the book of Acts, how the early church was founded and has gone to all points of the world for 2,000 years.
All right.
It's amazing.
Now, let's talk about mega churches. The United States is famous for its mega churches. I mean, these audiences of 10,000 people. And I'm not talking about a guy like Billy Graham who goes on tour. I'm talking about that's their church every Sunday. 10,000 people screaming and singing and the chorus. But at the same time, these people are criticized because the church is supposed to be humble and not supposed to be flying around in private jets. And so there's been a lot of criticism about, yes, it's a great way. TV is a great way, a great medium to reach millions of new believers.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these people, as with many people, power and money corrupts.
It's sad to say that many people, and I'm sure it's in Spain as well, present themselves as believers, as Christians, but
are
not. It's
a wolf in sheep's clothing.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, they are presenting a different gospel, which if they're presenting anything other than what the gospel is, it's not right. Some are just after their own fame. So the kind of the fame of
the Hillsong guy. Did you see the documentary about the Hillsong guy?
I had heard about it, but I didn't see it. But many have started out okay and then gotten corrupt. So
he thought first he was the star of the show, and really it's Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So not rule number one. And then he was telling people how to run their marriages and their relationships when he was being unfaithful to his wife.
Yeah.
The truth doesn't go anywhere just because you cover it up.
Hillsong is a megachurch, and Carl Lentz is the celebrity pastor.
Carl, he's so charming.
People idolize him.
There is a sense that pastors can be hot.
He was so special.
It was cool.
Carl was this mega superstar. And then he just disappeared.
You do not want to be in this chair. I cannot stress it enough.
You really got it.
I had some major lies.
He said, I have been unfaithful.
Carl was fired by Hillsong leader Brian Houston, but there was something larger happening at this church.
People were putting things together. Brian's unraveling was bound to happen.
They were protecting something.
What are they protecting?
Brian's pushing people to the limit.
Hillsong culture is loyalty to Hillsong.
There was a series of violent criminal acts against children.
Did you cover up your father's sex abuse?
They had meetings about not telling anyone.
It's child abuse, labor abuse, sexual assault.
We are fearful of what is ahead.
I've never seen anything like this.
This is a church we're talking about.
So you have, again, unfortunately, you have people who, again, present themselves as preachers, as somebody who you should follow, and you should actually run from them.
Right. But we've seen it also with the scandals in the Catholic Church. I don't even want to say the word.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
So just because someone is ordained, basically, in whatever denomination, you have to use your judgment and wisdom to see, should I follow this person? Or if you get any sense of, that doesn't seem right, run for the hills.
Well, one word that you guys mention a lot is discernment.
Yes, discernment.
Mm-hmm. Being able to know the difference between things, right and wrong.
Right.
You know, being able to use good judgment, as you said, discernment.
Discernment and knowing if they're saying something that is not in the Bible. And again, you can today you can have your Bible on your phone. You don't even need a paper copy. Mm. So you can look it up. Hey, he said that, but really that's not in there. So,
and also if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
It's a duck.
You know, so if the guy's saying, okay, you need to give more money in order to be in, you know, in good faith with God. Yeah. Well, right there, something smells fishy.
A person's faith has nothing to do with their bank account or any income. It's their own personal faith. Money has nothing to do with it.
So these televangelists, they are criticized, and understandably so. Many of them have been in scandals and things. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go on a very deeper, darker level now.
Okay.
Cults. And I'm not saying Christian cults, cults in general. Mm-hmm. Some have come out of, you know, very extreme Christian groups. Some have been very left. Tell us a little bit about cults. What does the Bible say about cults?
Well, a cult is any kind of modification or corruption, I guess, of Christianity. Thank you, Google. There's currently about 250 cults in Spain. At this
in
time,
Spain.
In Spain alone.
And the United States is cult central. I mean, Scientology
just
is
in Spain alone. And again, since the use of the internet, used to be a person would have to actually go to the location of the cult leader and you know, worship there, so to speak. But now they can recruit people with the internet. It's quite scary.
There's a documentary I saw recently. In fact, we have an episode on cults. And don't forget, guys, there are two other episodes with my mom. Do you remember what other episodes of FYI you were on, Mom?
I did the one on family, mm-hmm. and then I did another one on mental health.
Nice. And now the Trinity, the Bible.
The Bible, the cults.
The Bible.
And the Bible, yeah.
Now, also, there's a part of the United States. We're going to go back to cults right now.
Oh, okay.
But there's a part of the United States that's called the Bible Belt.
The Bible Belt has traditionally been the South. Again, I live in the North, so I do not live in the Bible Belt. But from what I understand in the Bible Belt, at least in the generations past, most people were affiliated with a church. And it was not at all uncommon for Sunday mornings, the bells to be ringing in the different churches and people worshiping. So, and the views to be of those people quite conservative.
Puritan kind of.
Very conservative.
Faith. Yeah.
Yeah, so that would
be
the
Bible Belt.
The Bible Belt, yeah. So a person would, if you meet somebody, from what I've been told, I'm not from the South, you wouldn't just say, hi, my name is, but you would say, what church do you go to?
Hi, my name is John Williams. I go to First Baptist.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I've heard from people that have lived there. Again, I'm not from the South, so this is secondhand.
It is not my big lock on the door that makes me safe. It's not bars on the windows that make me safe. Do y'all hear me today? No, no, no. It's not a security guard at the front gate that makes me safe. It's not the alarm system that I have on the wall that makes me safe. It ain't whatever I got in the drawer next to the bed that makes me safe. Mm-mm, no, I lay down and I go to sleep because I know who my God is. Hallelujah. And because I know who my God is, I can lay down and go to sleep singing to my soul. I got a feeling everything is gonna be all right. Oh, praise his name. I'm finished, church. My heart is full right now. I wish I could get it out of my mouth the way I feel it in my heart. But I just want to tell somebody something good got to come out of this, because God is real, because his grace is sufficient, because his love is everlasting, because his power is unlimited, because his wisdom is perfect, because his name is great, because his grace is sufficient, because his strength is perfected. I got a feeling something good has got to come out of this. I've seen the lightning flash. You just gotta let me say it for myself today. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin breakers dancing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice Jesus telling me, fight on, preach on, pray on, serve on, lead on. He promised.
Have you ever been down to one of them services with a big choir just singing? You know, singing their hearts out.
Earlier, we mentioned I love Broadway, and I have not yet gone. Probably I will go in the spring. There is a evangelical church in New York City called Times Square Church.
I've been.
And it is in actually a former theater, Broadway theater. And I have friends that have visited there, and the services are excellent, and the choir. So that's on my plan one day in the spring. I'm going to actually, on one of my visits into New York City, I want to visit Times Square Church and experience worshiping with them.
And I'll tell you something, because, you know, your condition, your knees are not in good shape, they're going to have a seat for you in the front, because I used to go with a friend time to time.
Okay.
So usually if somebody's a repeat guest, they say, come on, offer your seat to a new person. So A, if you're new, B, if they see that you bring your body, you're ready to go. And also, because maybe you'll be able to see better and you won't have to climb up. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing. I went to the, guys, write it down, Times Square Church. Mm-hmm. It's not a tourist trap, but I guess it's becoming one. It's an interdenominational church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The preaching was amazing. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the expression, practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm.
And the choir was amazing, which reminds me of another expression. You're preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm. You're preaching to the choir, right.
All right. So you're going to love it, Mom.
Yeah, yeah. That's my plan to go.
What do you say? You feel the spirit? How do you say that?
Well, I want to, again, I wanted to be there and worship with people, you know, and experience the, you know, it's probably one of the most famous churches in Manhattan.
Yeah, absolutely. Times Square Church. Back to the cults.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, now it's gotten even easier to dupe people, to brainwash people.
Using the internet. I was looking in Murcia. They were able to arrest this man back in November who was giving his followers mercury. Now, many of you know, all of you know, mercury is poison. So, and he was also giving his followers psychoactive drugs. So he was harming, he was not helping them by his false beliefs that taking mercury maybe would make them more spiritual. I have no idea where that came from. But again, there were people who, maybe some who have died or some who are quite sick today because they took the mercury.
Is his name Patricio? No, I'm just kidding. One of my students is from Murcia. I'm just kidding.
I think that this man is Jose.
Shout out.
Jose Manuel.
Again. I know, I'm kidding. Wow. So it's incredible that in this day and age.
Yeah, it was just in November he was arrested.
And what does it take for somebody to be brainwashed? So, because I can't imagine myself somebody saying, you worship me. You have
take
to
the mercury.
I just can't imagine me rolling over and saying, yeah, well, okay, sure.
Well, I think everyone is made, again, we are made as mental, physical, and spiritual beings. And so there is a spiritual void in all of us. Now, some people look for other things to fill it. And some people, I guess, are led to kind of false beliefs, the cults, to fill that spiritual thing. But really, only God could fill that.
All right.
But yeah, when I read that mercury, my goodness.
Oh, in the Jonestown. I mean, we can, there's a whole genre of cults.
There have been
documentaries.
Many, yeah, there have been many cults. But again, this is more recent. This was just a couple months ago.
There's one, I'll put it on Patreon. There's one that was on recently, and it's about an internet cult to find your lover, your soulmate. And they did it over the internet, over Zoom.
Wow.
He took my child. He twisted her memories, her mind.
Haven't seen her in over 3 years.
Most of this great wealth comes directly from teaching others how to have beautiful, healthy, loving, romantic relationships.
I thought that everything in my life was going good, but I was just missing my true love.
You too can have harmonious union.
I found people that I can relate to and I can trust.
We had 38,000 people in the group.
This is the story of falling in love.
They are saying things like, are you ready for the ultimate love of your life?
what Jeff and Shelia do has nothing to do with love. It's control.
You're getting some prime ass tea.
None of it matters because you're his twin flame and this is your union.
Jeff taught us to pursue our twin flames at all costs.
When I spoke up about how I was feeling, I got shunned by Jeff and Shelia.
Liar!
Boop, boop, Andrew's lying.
Liar.
You're either feminine at your core or masculine at your core.
I questioned Jeff and his reply was, how dare you question your God?
I guess like a...
Stop talking, please.
Fine.
Let the man speak. The image of Christ was actually me, the second coming, not Jesus, the first coming.
It's insane what I ask of you, for you to have my divine light, and yet you get it, do you not?
How much power have I given to these people?
Dissolve the illusion and recognize that you're actually a man.
I felt like I didn't recognize myself.
We were forced to change so much about ourselves.
I just started crying because I felt like that was going to be our last conversation.
He already took my daughter.
If anybody should be scared, it should be him.
I will never stop fighting for my sister to come home.
Man, the tea is now being spilled.
You know, you didn't have to build a big temple like David Koresh or one of these people or a Charles Manson and go hide in the mountains, you know?
Right.
So cults, interesting, fascinating things. Let's take a look now at some dark moments in the Bible. The Bible's not all smiles, rainbows, and unicorns.
Mm-hmm. Well, the again, in the book of Genesis, that's the first book of the Bible, it talks about the world being very evil, and God being upset with his creation. And so he advises Noah to build an ark. And the ark would take Noah and his family and two by two of the animals of that day and keep them safe from the flood. And again, it's all in the book of Genesis. And the interesting thing, again, all these thousands of years later, they have found evidence in archaeology of fossils of sea creatures in the Grand Canyon.
Oh, wow.
And on the top of the Himalayan mountains. So what does that tell you? There was a flood that at one time covered the earth.
Wow. Yeah. Do you know what my favorite line from Genesis is?
No.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight, oh Lord.
Okay. All right.
Did you catch my joke? Did you catch it?
No.
There's a group called Genesis.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't catch that. Not my era. I'm sorry. I'm a baby boomer, not my era.
I thought it was funny. Did you guys get it, listeners?
I'm sure they did.
So, yeah, now here, that's another controversy here. Mm-hmm. Some people say God is a vengeful God, is wrath, he's angry. Tell us about that.
Well, again, people were not obeying him. Same thing with the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were not destroyed by flood, but with fire and sulfur. So, and there's evidence of destruction of sulfur, you know, thousands of years ago. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah do not exist today. They were, I believe, by the Sea of Galilee at one time. So, yes, God has created the world, mankind, including women.
Humankind, you have to say now. You know. Mankind is racist. You're a sexist, Mom.
No.
Don't be a sexist bigot. You're a bigot.
We have all gone astray. And so God, you know, during the flood and then during the Sodom and Gomorrah has punished us, yeah. But again, my belief is if a person has a faith in Jesus as their Messiah, that their sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. You know, that his atonement, his blood covered those. And as I say, when I go to the nursing home, the AIDS nursing home, Jesus took the rap for us.
All right. Great expression. Mm-hmm. All right. So what about Armageddon? That's another dark moment that's to come, or how does that work?
Well, again, as I said earlier, there are many prophecies that you can look up that that lead to that Jesus was the Messiah, is the Messiah. And there are many, many prophecies of times to come when he will come back again, right? Jesus, Christians believe, came to earth in the form of a baby in Bethlehem, died on the cross, but Christians believe he will come back again. And the next event in Bible prophecy is what's called the rapture of the church. And that we don't know the day or hour, but at one time the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive will be taken away in the air. And right now, what there's still evil in the world. I don't think I have to tell anybody about all the evil in the world. But what's restraining that are the Christians on earth. And when that's going to be removed, I don't know when. I may be alive for that. I might not. Then the tribulation period, the Antichrist will make himself known. The temple will be rebuilt. All the things will lead up to the Battle of Armageddon. But that would be at the end of the seven-year period. And if God doesn't intervene, the whole world will destroy itself.
Well, it looks like we're on our way there now.
Oh, we definitely are.
You know?
We definitely are.
I guess, generations, I mean, even the Mayans, the Incans, always trying to predict the end of the world, these prophecies.
From what I've read, even during World War II, I was not alive during World War II, but people, the Christians at that time, believed that Hitler was the Antichrist and Mussolini was the false prophet. What hadn't happened yet, and what has happened in my generation, Israel had not become a nation until 1948, May 14th, 1948. And the Bible says Israel has to be a nation. So kind of that's when the button went on go, and all of the different things have been accelerating. I mean, day to day in the news, things that are happening show us that the time is close. Again, I'm never going to say that. The rapture is going to be this day, that time. No.
Hold on. Let me put it in my phone here. Hey, Siri.
No. But we see, it's almost like if I look and I see the clouds are getting darker, I know that the rain is going to come. I don't know exactly at what moment the raindrops will start. But yeah, the next on the calendar is the rapture of the church. And then following that, the tribulation period.
Oh, my God. Wait. That's not nice what I just did, right?
No.
You're not supposed to say, oh my God. Some alternatives then. Oh my gosh.
Yes, oh my gosh is okay.
Or as my brother-in-law says, oh my ghost.
Oh my ghost?
He doesn't know, Sophie. But it's really, oh my gosh. Or oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Or yeah. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Or Jiminy Christmas.
Jiminy Christmas?
I've heard that one. Jiminy Christmas instead of Jesus Christ.
I've heard of Jiminy Cricket from Walt Disney.
What about other ways to not take the Lord's name in vain?
You just have to be mindful of what you say. You know, again, you don't want to say anything that would be
offensive.
Offensive, sacrilegious, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Also, in the intro, you told me knock it off. What does that mean?
Knock it off is telling somebody to stop doing what they're doing.
That's right. Knock it off, Alberto. How many times did you tell me that when I was a kid?
Knock it off, Alberto.
That one came pretty natural to you.
Yes, it did.
Well, I think now would be a good time to listen to those outtakes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I promised them. Here we go.
Oh, no. Knock it off, Alberto. That's blasphemous.
Let's do them as two separate phrases because I can always put them.
Join us as
no, we... No. Knock it off, Alberto. Pause. That's blasphemous.
Okay.
This way also gives you time to recoup and say it.
Knock it off, Alberto.
No.
Knock it off, Alberto. That's blasphemous.
All right.
Knock it off, Alberto. That's blasphemous.
Blasphemous, right?
That's blasphemous. Join us.
No, you got to say that right. So, that's blasphemous.
That's blasphemous.
Again.
That's blasphemous.
Read it. Blasphemous.
That's blasphemous. Join us as we find out all about the Bible on this week's episode of FYI.
More, this one is exciting to hear. So this one, you're reprimanding me, which you've done nicely. Good job at reprimanding. But now it's join us as we find out all about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Pause on this week's episode of, and if you don't, I do F, why I extend the eye, if you want to do it like me.
Join us as we find out all about the Bible on this week's episode of FYI.
Do the eye again, but go like this. I. You got to go, I.
I.
There it is. Okay, I got it.
You got it?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you did a great job. I honestly, you want to know the truth? I could have used the first take, but I always like to get a few more. So a nice round of applause for my mom again.
Thank you.
And we were just having a laugh with the outtakes. See, well, I like to show them a little behind-the-scenes fun over here. All right, end of the world, Armageddon, it's all nice, but I don't want to be thinking about the end of times right now. I always like to talk about bad guys.
Mm.
And the Bible's got a lot of bad guys. Who are the baddest baddies?
Looking back, you have Cain. Cain was the son of Adam and Eve, and he killed his brother Abel, you know?
Was he able to do it?
Yes, he was able to do it. So he killed his brother.
I think in Spanish it's Cain y Abel.
Okay.
Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel.
Okay.
And then we have a bit later in time, we have the Pharaoh of Egypt. The Jews at that time were slaves in Egypt. And Moses was trying to lead them to the promised land, and he would not let them go. So he was one of the baddies, the Pharaoh of Egypt.
Let my people go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then you have Delilah.
I saw the light on the night that I passed by her window. I saw the flickering shadows of love on her blinds.
Thank you, Tom Jones. Delilah tricked Samson, again, this is Old Testament, into revealing his strength, which was in his hair. So she was a baddie. And then you have King Herod, who had known that the Messiah would be born and didn't want to give up the reign to any Messiah, any king, and had the babies, all the babies under two, killed. Because he
sounds
was trying
like a
to,
swell guy.
He was trying to stop the Messiah, but he wasn't able to do it.
You can't stop Messiah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Just dance, dance, dance. Can't stop Messiah.
But those are just some of the bad guys.
And what about Pontius Pilate? I mean,
Pontius Pilate, you know, presided over Jesus being crucified. But again, with the crucifixion, even if Jesus would have come, been born in Bethlehem, lived a sinless life, done the miracles, you know, raised the dead, if he did not die on the cross and take our sins, our punishment on him, we would still be stuck in our sins. So he actually had to die. There was no other way to bridge the gap between God and man. We could never be good enough to get to heaven.
Great
so
expression.
He atoned, right? The atonement, the blood atonement. So it had to happen that way. But
oh,
yes.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And that's where we get Easter. The third day is when he rises.
He was crucified on Good Friday and then rose again on Easter Sunday. And that's one of the, again, the differences between Christianity and many other religions. The empty tomb, right?
Yeah.
Show me the body. There was no body, guys. He was gone. And then he appeared for 40 days to over 500 people who were alive at that time. Imagine, saw him after seeing him die on the cross, saw him walk around. So really amazing stuff.
Oh, fascinating, really. I mean,
it really is
end,
fascinating.
The Bible's a collection of stories.
Stories,
and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating stories mm-hmm. at that.
Yeah.
What about the music, the hymns? The Bible has produced or inspired many hymns that people sing all around the world. And, you know, songs like Silent Night, which are translated to every language.
I think Silent Night, I believe, was written in German first.
I believe so as well,
I think it was written in, I don't speak German. I think there was a problem with the organ, maybe, at the church.
Okay.
And they had to, like, write a hymn. Yeah. The one, my favorite hymn is Amazing Grace, and there's a very interesting story about that.
Tell us.
My favorite hymn is Amazing Grace. And it was written in 1772 by an English person by the name of John Newton. And John Newton was a slave trader, unfortunately. Slavery was illegal back in that day. And he was transporting slaves to different places. And he almost died in a shipwreck. And during that time, I guess, when he saw his life almost about to pass him, he cried out to God and asked God to save him. And he was physically saved. And after he had his spiritual transformation, he became a minister. So his faith changed his vocation. He went from a slave trader to be a minister in churches. And probably that's one of the most famous old hymns from back in the day that is still sang in churches today.
Well, do you want to try and do it a cappella together?
I'm not good at singing, but I'll give it my best
shot. I'll start if you want, and then you jump on.
Okay.
I'm going to go deep, obviously. Okay. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Hey, way to leave me hanging there.
Okay, I'm coming. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Yeah, all right, all right. I thought you were leaving me hanging. Good job there. Good job, Mom. I don't know about my part, but great job on your end. I can guarantee it. But there is something special about worshiping with music, or music in general.
Well, in many churches, you have the what's called the worship part of the service. In my church, the worship team, which can be a combination of contemporary Christian songs, old songs, you know, are played and people worship. And then usually the second part is the actual
The sermon, yeah. The mass.
But yeah, the worship part usually comes first in many churches.
To get you in the mood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To whet your appetite. Mm-hmm. The Ten Commandments, let's go over them really quickly. I know it's thou shalt not, but in the common day, how would we say it? You shouldn't.
You shouldn't. The Ten Commandments, again, give us a guideline, and no one can actually live it. Which means you cannot get to heaven just by following the Ten Commandments, because even if you think bad about someone, you've sinned. So it gives us a guideline and shows us that we need a Savior. But the Ten Commandments
number one,
you shall not have no other gods before me. During Moses' time, their people had many gods. So
you just used a double negative, but you're a native speaker, so I'll let you get away with
it.
Any gods. You shouldn't have no. I think you say, hey, it's recorded. Sorry to correct the person. The irony here is I'm correcting the person who taught me how to speak English.
Okay.
Number two.
You shall not make idols.
Easy. Right? Three.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Oh, my God. I do it every day.
Oh, ooh, no.
There I go again. Number four.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Is that Saturday or Sunday?
And in the Old Testament, it was Saturday. Christians usually worship on Sunday because that's the day of the resurrection.
And I love Sabbath. Black Sabbath? Oh, okay. All right. She didn't find that funny,
guys. Don't
go
there.
Okay. Number five.
This is a good one for you. Honor your father and your mother.
Oh, because I'm such a bad son. Number six.
You shall not murder.
Oh, well, oops. I'm joking. Number seven.
You shall not commit adultery.
Sounds fair enough. Number eight.
You shall not steal.
Fair enough as well. Number nine.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Does that mean to talk smack?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We got to translate them for young people. Like, don't talk smack about people. And number 10.
You shall not covet. That means wanting your neighbor's possessions, including the husband or wife of your neighbor.
Don't be envious.
Be satisfied with your own stuff.
Look to thine own self.
Be true.
be true. All right, and we're going to wrap up with the Bible in pop culture. Favorite Bible movies?
I remember, actually, I was in Spain a number of years ago, and we saw The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, yeah.
That was, we saw that in Spain, and that really,
with Mel Gibson,
with
correct?
Mel Gibson's movie, yeah. And that was very, very graphic.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
didn't leave much to the imagination.
Did not, yeah. Right. Yeah. But then through the times, I remember the Ten Commandments.
Classic.
Classic movie with, I believe, Charlton Heston. The Ten Commandments. So many different movies that are based on biblical themes.
You've got one with The Last Temptation of Christ as well.
I think that one was, I didn't see that one. That one, I believe, was quite more sacrilegious. So I would not go to that. not my thing, people.
And then, well, obviously, gospel music is bigger than ever.
I go to actually in a nearby college every spring. There's a gospel concert and very lively. And I go with friends every year.
Awesome. Well, Mom.
It's called Gospel Explosion.
I couldn't ask for a better guest. I've got to say, you nailed it once again. And I just need one more favor from you. I want you to wrap up the show.
Okay.
And I want you to say thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of FYI.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of FYI.